G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2015. We're still struggling along here at making the nut, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, mate. I reckon it's starting to shape. Season is certainly starting to shape, and I reckon there's going to be some value in these last half a dozen rounds.
Hopefully we're starting to shape sometime soon. Cause, you know,
mate, we've been shaping up the whole time, don't worry about that.
Old Gil could use a couple here. We kick things off on Friday night and we're at the Docklands for North Melbourne and Essendon. The Kangaroos laying just over 4 goals. Total points line high 170s.
Look, head to head, you'd have to fancy the Roos. I mean, Essendon have been really, really ordinary their last few starts. Granted, Kangaroos were abysmal on the road to the Suns a couple of weeks ago. They fought back pretty well last week, showed some signs. I think some strong selection commitments from the coach has put a bit of wind up the boys, and that should hopefully having played some football in the right direction. But to me, the one that steps out here is the over. High 170s, under the lid. It's always a bet for mine. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I couldn't play here, mainly because I'm just scared about how much Essendon can contribute to that number. Melbourne gifted them a win last week, but still not much by way of scoring power there, and they're going to need to kick at least 12, maybe 13, to kind of cover. Oh, depends. If you get to 80 or whatever, North get to 100.
Yeah,
but they're going to need to get to that. If they only kick 8 or 9, you're in a bit of strife. And
well, I think if they only kick 8 or 9, then the Roos probably kick 18. Yeah. So it gets to the other side of the coin pretty quickly. I think it's the way the two sides shape up. I mean, there has been a propensity across a lot of games to be stoppage heavy, but I think the steel conditions under the lid should hopefully preclude that. And I mean, if there's not 180 points scored in this game, it's going to be a dog of a game to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't enthuse about this game as either a betting proposition or an Essendon fan, or quite possibly as a football fan. We move to Saturday afternoon, hopefully swiftly. We've got Geelong and the Western Bulldogs down at Cadinia Park. The Cats laying just over 1 goal. Total points line, mid-170s.
Look, the Cats at Simmons Stadium haven't been a stronger proposition this year as they've been in the past. The teams have found them out down there. Whether or not it's just the Geelong team in general and not the strength they were, I mean, I'm sure we're all aware of that. No Selwood in the side either, out with suspension. I think this is a real danger game for them. I can see the Dogs winning this game outright, Simmons Stadium or not. They're going to need a lot of stand-up from their second and third tier mids, and I just think that the Western Bulldogs will identify this as a game. If they're going to play finals football, they have to win games of football like this. So this is almost an eight-point game for them, I reckon. I reckon they'll be throwing everything they've got at this game, and I can see the Doggies winning this, so I'm going to take the plus.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same here. As I said, I'm not convinced about Geelong. I mean, they got dusted by Melbourne a couple back, had 2 weeks off because of the Adelaide scheduling, and then got flogged by North Melbourne. Dogs ahead of them on the ladder. Last year, when Geelong were a significantly better side and the Dogs were a worse side, the Dogs ran them to 2 goals at KP. I think this is a very winnable game for the Dogs, and I'll be taking the plus as well.
Beautiful.
Second of the Saturday afternoon games, and we're up at the Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium for the Suns and the Giants. Suns getting about half a goal start, total points line mid to high 170s.
The markets all look pretty fair on this one to me. I think the big thing for the Gold Coast, I mean, as good as it is for them to have Gary Ablett back in the side, the person who's probably their real barometer other than Ablett is Charlie Dixon, and he limped off just after quarter time, I think it was, on the weekend when they pretty much had that game shelled against the Dogs. And then towards the end of the game, when they really needed someone to stand up and take a pluck, there was just no one there. Lynch was getting triple teamed, and they coughed up 10 goals in the last quarter, and that was all she wrote. So he's probably, I imagine he's very doubtful to get around this week, and without him in the side, I can't see them putting together much of a score. So GWS, probably deserved favourites, maybe deserve a little bit more, but Gold Coast up there, it's just a tricky ground to get a feel for. I don't think we've got enough exposed for it there across the board. So I'm probably going to just turn my back on this one pretty comfortably.
Yeah, it's a no-bet game for me as well. Recent head-to-head history would suggest you want the over, particularly for a day game where you've got a line south of 180. But as you said, Dixon not there. And GWS have later really struggled to kick scores. They've been really competitive and more competitive than I thought they would be with the loss of Mumford. But they've done that in low-scoring games. It was a low-scoring game against Richmond. It was a really low-scoring game for a day game against St Kilda. I'm not convinced that either side's going to go out and try and rack up a number. I mean, it's a winnable game for both sides, so I think they'll probably play some pretty tight, contested footy, and it's an easy lay-down from my perspective.
It does pose a question, though. It's an interesting and, albeit, it's a concerning trend in modern football when there's any doubt, teams default to lock down defence and just creating numbers around the footy and stoppage after stoppage after stoppage. So, I mean, it's almost a standing bet going forward that if it's a flip of the coin game or if both teams are a genuine chance to win, you almost just play the under because there's going to be that sort of lockdown stoppage role because teams are too afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Rather than actually trying to take the game on to win it. So that shootout style football, it's not happening anymore where it should. That's your perfect game for shootout football. GWS, Gold Coast, two young Tommy.
And historically they have been,
They have, but
not this year.
I don't see that happening.
No,
I don't see that
happening. No, neither. So we move to the Saturday Twilight game and we're at the Docklands for Collingwood and West Coast. Pies getting about a goal, total points line mid-180s.
Yeah, well, this is a good game. This should be a really good game of footy. Collingwood again, been really competitive the last 3 weeks, albeit for three losses. They've probably been a bit stiff three times in a row. And given my season bet with Big Head, I hope they're a bit stiff for the next 7 weeks in a row. If this was anywhere other than Etihad, I wouldn't give Collingwood a chance. I'm not sure why I like them at Etihad. I think it's just their spread from the contest is quite good. And when they can get clean ball into their forward line, their forwards can be quite damaging. And then I think the still conditions give them more capacity to do that. They're really good midfielders, or their bulk ball-winning midfielders, other than Pendlebury, your Swans and these types, they're not good users of the footy generally. They're not going to sit it right out on a plate for the boys. They're going to need to get a pluck on the footy, and these conditions will give that to them. But it's an intriguing game, but I can't find anything too exciting other than the prospect of the match itself. Nothing really sticks out in the markets for me.
Yeah, I couldn't get a handle on the line here, but I'm pretty happy to play the under. Collingwood strong to the under as home underdogs, also in Twilight Night games. Same for West Coast in terms of Twilight Night games. Also strong to the under when they're favourites on the road. And they've had limited experience at Docklands in the last couple of seasons, but they've gone to the under 4 out of the last 5. And a bit like the conversation we just had about GWS and Gold Coast, in a winnable game, and this is something of a finals preview, both sides will expect to be there in September. It's really hard to envisage a shootout. I could see a genuine arm wrestle early on. If you take out the Hawthorn game, Hawthorn almost always go to the over, but the other two recent Collingwood games against good sides in close conditions, or both been low scoring.
Yeah.
And I think mid-180s gives you a fair bit of space here, albeit at the Docklands. I'm going to play the under.
Good call.
We move to the Saturday night games, and we're out at Homebush at ANZ Stadium for the Swans and the Hawks. Swans getting about one goal. Total points line opened high 170s early in the week into about 170 now with a bit of rain about in Sydney.
Yeah, look, if this game was at the SCG, I'd probably be a bit more concerned as a Hawks supporter. I think on ANZ, a bit bigger ground, a bit more room to run and spread. I think Hawthorn, given the form they showed last week, if they can bring anything like that to the table, they should get round Sydney pretty easy this week. Yes, they're both contenders, and they should notionally be a strong matchup. But I just think Hawthorn have got too many weapons across the ground. I don't see Sydney being able to get a hold of them and put a strong number on. They might get a good patch in the game where they can kick 3 or 4. But then when the table turns and you lose a little bit of momentum, I don't see them having the defensive structures to actually stop Hawthorn. They're generally reasonably solid one-on-one defensively, but Hawthorn just shift the ball around so well through the forward half of the ground. They're going to create opportunities, and I think that they should probably get round Sydney pretty easy this week, so I'm going to lay less than a goal.
On form, apart from the game they played against each other this season, I'd be on the same boat. But given that Sydney were able to get the chocolates down at the MCG earlier this year, and again, it was that basically they got one really good quarter, in fact, probably a quarter and a bit, and the Hawks got past them, and then Sydney were able to come again. That's the only thing that's stopping me tipping into the minus here.
I think Hawthorn let them win that game just so that they didn't fold.
Hawthorn always trends strongly to the over, but given the rain around and also given that ANZ Stadium will be hosting a league game Friday night, backing up into a Saturday night rules game, I think it'll be... Oh, it's a cow paddock at the best of times, ANZ Stadium. It's not going to be in any better nick for having footy had played on it the night before.
So in relation to Eddie had?
Yeah. I'm going well. No bet. Okay, second of the Saturday night games, Eastern time, but it's a 5:40 start in Perth. We're over at Subiaco for Fremantle and Carlton. The Dockers laying about 7 goals. Total points line, low to mid-160s, depending on where you're shopping.
Yeah, well, Fremantle, it'll be interesting to see what they bring to the table this week. Their scoring capacity has been well and truly down. Obviously, trounced last week, but... pretty worrying signs, I think, if you're a Fremantle supporter. And I mean, even the coach came out after last week and said that they're probably in a bit of a rut at the moment. They just can't put numbers on the board. As strong as they are through the middle of the ground, you can't rely consistently on your small forwards to kick you 8 a week. As good as they are, it just doesn't happen. You need your power forwards to bob up and average your 2 or 3 a week between the 2 or 3 of them. You know, and it's that team, we talk about team defence a lot, but there's team offence as well, and you need everyone to be chipping in and contributing to the scoreboard, and I just don't see that happening with Fremantle at the moment. So if it was any team other than Carlton, I would absolutely take this line on and have a head start, just because Fremantle have struggled to put points on the board. But I think Carlton are pretty malleable at the moment across the ground, and any team with a bit of starch is probably going to be able to push them around a little bit. So, yeah, probably just a bit too much doubt for me on this one.
Yeah, I couldn't get involved in a 7-goal line. Happy to play the under, though, on that 165.5. Frio trends strongly to the under as favourites, and also in Twilight Night games. They've had a number of games over at Subiaco at night this year. Almost all of them have gone way under, so you're talking in the 120s, 130s sort of range. They have a capacity to sit on bad sides, and especially when they can't kick goals. You know, that sort of 12, 13 goals to 5 goals style score. Basically what they did to Essendon earlier this year, except they put the queue in the rack 10 minutes before the end. They've done it to a few other sides over the journey. They've done it to Carlton previously. They've done it to Brisbane the last couple of times they've been in Subiaco. I could see this being a horrible game to watch, and lobbing on a number around 130, 140. So I'm really hoping for terrible football in that game and good footy in the two prior to it.
Perfect.
We move on to Sunday afternoon, and speaking of bad football, we've got Melbourne and Brisbane at the MCG. The D's laying about 1.5 goals. I don't really know how that happens, but nonetheless, total points line around the 170 mark.
Well, this is your perfect test case for what we discussed earlier. Two teams that actually have a legitimate chance of winning this game of footy and not getting a lot of other wins around them over the course of the season. They're going to be throwing everything they've got into it. Brisbane have shown over the last 2 weeks against quality opposition that they're up for the challenge. They're prepared to play nice, tight, hard, contested football. Just tackle, chase, harass, pressure football. Doesn't lead to too much open, challenging, running, scoring. But it does.
Which is not Melbourne style anyway.
Correct. So I'm all over the under on this game. I think it's going to be stoppage central. If you've got a market out there anywhere for 120 stoppages across the course of the game, get on that bastard, because that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a shit fight, I think, around the footy with lots of stoppages. And I reckon probably 70 points wins you this game pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I couldn't find a bet here in the end. I tried very hard to talk myself into the under. I tried very hard to talk myself into Brisbane at the plus. I'm just absolutely useless in games where bad sides play each other, so it's really best that I leave the coin in the back pocket for now.
Well, if I'd stuck away from games I'm useless at, I wouldn't be betting on early. You'd be doing this by yourself, mate, at the moment. So we've got to have a crack at something.
We do. We're going to have a crack here, though. The second of the Sunday afternoon games, and it's the showdown between Port Adelaide and Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Power laying about 1.5 goals. Total points line around the 180 mark.
Yeah, look, it's too much emotion involved in the day for me. I'm going to leave it at that. I've got not much more to say. It should be a good game of football. It's going to be heart and soul football and a good spectacle to watch, but not something I'm prepared to put my money on.
Yeah, too much emotion for me to play the line here, but I'm pretty keen to play the over. Adelaide Oval day games do trend pretty strongly to the over, which is manifest in the record of both Port and the Crows in day games over the last couple of seasons. Four of the last five between these two sides have gone 200+. I think it'll be hard contested footy, but I think they'll want a spectacle. And I think the Crows, that's the way they play best. I mean, they gave West Coast a run for a while on Saturday night, but ended up conceding 22, 23 goals.
Mm.
I'm not sure they can play shutdown footy and turn this into a first to 12 goals wins style game.
Yeah,
I think they'll want to open it up, and well, I certainly hope they open it up, partially because it'll be a pretty good game to watch then, and secondly because we'll get the over across the line. And then we wrap things up in the Sunday twilight game. We're back at the Docklands for St Kilda and Richmond in the game to celebrate Matty Riewoldt's life. St Kilda laying or getting just over 3 goals, total points line low 180s.
Yeah, is it it's rise for Matty? Is that
yep.
is that the is that
I believe
motion?
So.
Yeah, that's an outstanding initiative from the two football clubs. That's really good stuff. Fingers crossed, Nick Riewoldt can get up. I mean,
yep.
there's a lot of conjecture this week that he's not going to be able to. I personally think he will play, albeit not at 100% or anywhere near 100%. Probably see him sit a little bit closer to the goal square, and they'll ask Josh Bruce to do a bit more of that work up the ground and hit the logos a little bit, which probably might give them a little bit more of a bit of a different dynamic anyway, make him maybe a little bit harder to judge. But geez, if he sits back in the goal square, he's going to have a tough job with Alex Rance up his ass all day as well.
Yeah.
So again, it should hopefully be a good spectacle. I probably lean towards taking the points in this game, given what St Kilda have been able to put together. But a lot of their capacity their drive, a lot of their effort, a lot of their enthusiasm is driven by Nick Riewoldt. And again, it's going to be an emotional sort of a game with the family connections and all the bits and pieces that go with it. And that's, as we've seen across the journey, 1 or 2% shift in intent from either side can turn a 10-goal underdog into a 5-goal favourite sort of thing. So, hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully Nick Riewoldt can get the boots on for this special occasion, but I won't be putting any money down.
Yeah, neither. Richmond do trend pretty strongly to the over at the Docklands, albeit they don't play many games there. Not a lot else to like trends-wise. Richmond have had the wood on St Kilda and won the last four all by pretty convincing margins. But St Kilda are playing a bit better footy these days, and I just can't bring myself to lay 3.5 with Richmond, even though this is a game, if you want to finish top six and give the top four a nudge, this is a game you should take care of business and do it well.
Yeah.
I don't trust Richmond to do that at this stage.
Well, they're a little bit like North Melbourne in that regard, isn't it? Over the last couple of years, these are the sorts of games that they lose.
Yep.
You know, and it's the sort of game that just rings that bell in everyone's mind that says, hey, these guys are shit. As much as we want them to be good, and as much as we want them to challenge,
they're still shit. Can beat Sydney, can beat Freo, get dusted by Melbourne. This is a droppable game for them.
You can beat anyone on your day, but your day's not there often enough
for
you to be taken seriously by anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, again, cracking weekend of footy. There's some really good matchups across the board. What have we got in the end, mate?
So I've got a total of 4. I'm going to be with the Bulldogs at the plus. I've got the under in Collingwood West Coast, the under in Fremantle Carlton, and the over in the showdown in Adelaide.
Well, I landed with 4 as well. I've got the overs North Melbourne Essendon, I've got the Doggies at the plus, Hawks at the minus, and the under in the Demons Lions game.
There we go. Good luck and good punting, folks.